good morning to each and every one of you. Thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and speak his word. Amen. To tell you of his goodness. Amen. Truly God is, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. I want to thank our choir for doing a wonderful job. Amen. Our directors, musicians, everyone, you've done a beautiful job. We certainly thank you for lifting up the voices to heaven. Amen. To each and every one in your respective places, God has a word on today. It's a blessing to know that we can hear from heaven. Amen. To understand what is going on in our lives. Amen. If you will, turn to Jude. Amen. When you have it, can you say amen? Jude, the 24th verse. I know normally when we hear this, this is when we dismiss in church, but I'm not dismissing church this early. So just so you know, when I'm done, don't mean turn around and walk out. And I got something I need to tell you before you leave. Amen. Amen. But there's a reason why I love this verse so much, and I'm always saying it. There's a reason that you're going to find out here in a moment. Those who are trying to get it on their phones, are you there? Are you connected to the internet? Or are we good? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. This is not an early dismissal. Amen. I used to love those in school, boy, the early dismissal. Amen. We just got some people in the church that just play too much. Amen. Here in the book of Jude, and I was wondering if many of you would find it. Not like as many chapters, and plus on top of that, if someone had some difficulties with this chapter, you would have told off on yourself. But Jude is a half brother of Jesus. I said half brother of Jesus, because. You know, the Virgin Mary is his mother. And so Joseph didn't have anything to do with Jesus. I want y'all to understand that. But after that, they did have children. Amen? You have to read and understand to know that Jesus did have some half-brothers that was also around him. And so which is another way of saying it's actually, you know how people know me by a couple of names. Jude is also known as Judas. But I don't think anybody want to go around being called Judas. Amen. You don't see people naming their children today Judas. That's not a good name to name someone, you know. But he is the author. Imagine this half-brother who grew up with Jesus as the author of this particular book. You all have to understand now. I know it's easy for you to hear me say this. He's a half-brother of Jesus. But how many know that y'all don't listen to your siblings? Let's just be real. I mean, you try to get them told, she try to get you to. I'm just saying, we don't listen to our siblings. So can you, I'm just kind of giving you a picture here. Can you imagine, you know, here it is, Jesus growing up would have brothers. They all doing the same thing. You know, he's human, they're human, they doing things. And all of a sudden, one day Jesus says, I'm the Son of God. I mean, can you imagine that for a moment? I mean, think about, I don't think we really think about these things. Here it is, this person grew up in a household with you, and all of a sudden, they took, you know who his mama is, all right? And all of a sudden, this person says, I'm the Son of God. That ain't easy, you all. Y'all have to understand that. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all know the hardest people to convince is siblings, family members. Those are the hard, when you convert them, you doing something. Those are the hardest people to convince. Why? Because they know you. See, if my cousins was here, they'd tell you more than what I tell you. Why? Because they know me. And so, Jude had an opportunity, ample opportunity to examine and scrutinize the life of Jesus. Jesus grew up with his siblings. Jesus was very ordinary. He had to come as an ordinary man in order to do what he came to do. And that is connect us back to the Father. So, all of a sudden, Jesus tells his siblings that he's the Son of God. But here's the thing. When people tell you something, I don't think anyone in here is convinced just like that. It takes some time. However, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus changed Jews' unbelief into confident assurance, so that one day he could write this powerful message that we have here this morning. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Let me ask you something. Jude was dealing with something in this day and time, the same thing that we are dealing with in this day and time. If I say to you, would you know a poisonous snake if you saw one? Many of you would say, no, it's a snake. I don't know if it's poisonous, if it's not poisonous. Sometimes it's not easy to tell the poisonous ones from the non-poisonous ones. The same thing is true when it comes to identifying false teachers and preachers. That's hard to identify. This is what Jude was dealing with in his day and time. You have people that didn't want to preach the gospel the way it should be preached, leaving things out, saying that, oh, it ain't as bad as you, it ain't what it is, it ain't, you don't have to believe that. This is what Jude was dealing with. So Jude was writing in a time when false teachers attacked the church. False teachers are like, if you look in, you're still in that same chapter, look in verse 12. I didn't put this up there, but it's in verse 12. It said, these are spots in feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, caring about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Clouds without water. Here, Drude is drawing up an image that would have been familiar in the Jewish people's time. In Palestine, back in that day, it was hot, dusty. You see the news when you see people, you see the cars that got all kind of dust on them and everything. It just looked dusty and dirty over there in some of those countries. So a cloud in the sky was a signal of wanted rain. But the cloud would come and go, casting only just a shadow, but yielding no rain. Jude is reminding us that this is what the false teachers are like. They fill your heads with all their promise and flamboyant ideas, and yet their promises yield nothing. The false prophets were destroying the Christians with their teaching, and Jude did not like it. So think of the false prophets of our day and time, primarily those that's on TV. They make all these promises to their viewers that if you will send money to help support their ministry, that God is going to open the windows of heaven and pour a great riches upon their lives. Many of those who send money to these wolves in sheep clothing are poor widows and elderly people on fixed incomes who get duped by the empty promises of their favorite TV preacher. But in Jude day, he was especially displeased that the false teachers were trying to separate spiritual matters from behaviors. The false teachers taught that since the world, I'm giving you a summary of what Jude is dealing with, and this is for people who say they can't make it. And here it is, we looking and reading about a brother who made it. The teachers taught that since the world is evil, just like the day and time we live in, there's no point and it makes no difference how you behave. They felt that you could live any way you please and that it would be all right. But you disagreed. If you look in verse 14, and 15. It talks about, let me read a little bit to you. It talks about, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. In verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Under the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jude inserted a direct quote from Enoch, the man who walked with God and was no more because God took him away. Enoch lived over 5,000 years ago, and yet Enoch wrote in great detail about the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his angels and about the Lord's judgment upon all godly men. How else could Enoch have known this if he was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? So he spoke about these things that we are dealing with in today's time. Those who preach a false gospel, those who taught things that contradict the word of God, those who practice wickedness and taught others to do the same are going to forfeit their souls in the pits of hell. Y'all notice what I'm saying here. Y'all don't hear a lot of preachers talking about hell on TV, do you? No, nobody want to hear that. Let's just be real. Nobody want to hear about hell. Nobody want to hear about that you're going to be there for eternity. Nobody want to hear that. So what do? They tell you that what you're doing is all right. Just find a church that fits your style. And then so that gives people a false impression that you can find a church that fits your style. Many churches are not warning. Listen to what I'm saying. are not warning Christians, and they're not being educated on how demons operate. The world has conditioned us to accept that some people, with their perverted, aggressive, and rude behavior speaking up to contradict righteousness, Christian leaders are just normal. Just accept how this generation is. This is what they want us to do. Jude clarifies in verse 6 that the fallen angels who came to rape and murder as they please have been captured and are awaiting the judgment of hell. But what about the others after that? They are still here. In Matthew chapter 8 and 28 and 34, Jesus cast out demons into pigs, but the demon spirits of old are still with us, usually possessing people in high places. Amen? They're in high places, possessing people of influence, such as in actors, musicians, and they focus in on infiltrating churches so they can divide them and destroy them, having them overcome by the trends of the world, rewriting their doctrines to include their demonic activity. See, the devil and the demons influence mankind so much that the Bible says the evil one controls the world, the whole world. You can find that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. You can kind of do your research on that. This world is expecting born-again believers like myself who honor God to just accept confusion. If a Christian questions sin, listen to what I'm saying to you. If a Christian questions sin or anything, sinners will lash out at us with full force, saying to us that we are not real Christians because we are not loving, because we discriminate. Y'all know they love to throw that up there. Y'all discriminating. We're not discriminating. We're just exposing ungodly behavior. That's all we're doing. I hate when people twist my words. If you don't know what I'm saying, come talk to me. I'm a human. I can talk back when you talk to me. If you don't understand what I'm saying, let's talk together. Amen. Let us get an understanding. But don't twist my words and say I'm discriminating. I ain't discriminating against anybody, but I ain't going to tolerate ungodly behavior. You can believe that. I guarantee you this. If somebody, you men that are here, now let's man up now. Somebody come in your house doing some foolishness, let me see how long they stay there. Let's just be real now. They come up in there talking some foolishness, flirting with your wife. Now, I can say, hold up now. You ain't being a Christian. You ain't letting them talk to your wife. How much? You're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Okay, so it is when I see God's word not being honored. I'm going to look at you like you crazy. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all, I'm saying to the men because y'all are over the head of the household. So what I'm saying is when somebody come in there, I guarantee you they're going to walk up right. Otherwise, they're going to have to answer. There's going to be some consequences. Ladies, y'all ever know why men always recognize one another and speak to one another? We don't even got to know each other. We'll just. Y'all want to know why? It's called respect. Y'all want to, I'm being real with you. It's called respect. I ain't a tall man, but I'm telling you something. I'm going to tell you something. I'll wear you out, though. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I wear you out. You're going to know, be like, man, what happened to you? My point is what I'm trying to get you to understand is you ain't going to just walk up in a man's house and just do what you want to do. So it is with God. God ain't going to let you just do what you want to do. So we are not, as a born-again believer, just going to sit here and just let people just do every ungodly thing they want to do. No, I'm going to call it out.
That's what Jesus did. If I'm following in his footsteps, then I should be doing the same thing. See, back in Jews' day, people probably felt that they could not, with all that foolishness going on, could not even live a good Christian life. See, it's great for us to say hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, in the presence of other people. In the presence of God's people. That's easy. But I'm going to tell you what a challenge will come. Is when you're out there in the world and they ain't saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise God. Let me see if you got some of that in you. Because that's where the real test is going to come. So back in his day, they felt like they couldn't be good Christians living a good life because of all the evil that was around them. But Jude insisted that it could be done because God is able to keep you from falling. So for those of you who think you cannot go on with your Christian walk, think because sometimes it's hard just to do the right thing. And those of you who are bound by the circumstances you're dealing with of your life, if you are trapped in some type of relationship that you're living outside of the will of God, and to those of you who came here today to make a resolution to serve God from now onward, but the devil has already told you that things will not change for you and that you will go on like before and that you may even try to start doing right, but it would not be long before you fall flat on your face going back to your old ways, I've come to tell you that Jesus is able to keep you from falling. To keep. What does it mean to keep? To preserve, to maintain, to watch over, to defend, to take care of, to support, to restrain, to hold back. He is able to keep you. He's got his eye on you. He can keep you from falling from the faith. You can look at the church and see people are leaving the church. God is able to keep you on your feet. The word keep is, in other words, means that God is on guard. Y'all better believe that today. The devil constantly schemes to trip us up, always doing something to try to get you. Your sinful flesh is prone to trip, stumble, and fall, but God is able to keep you. What I'm trying to say, you can't do it by yourself. Come on now, that's why he said, forsake not to assemble yourself in a household of faith. You can't do it by yourself. But if you got some brother that is with you on this battlefield, they can pick you up and say, come on. But when you're by yourself, no wonder you feel the way you feel. Get with some other believers. Falling away demonstrates a false presumptive of salvation. Falling away. Why are we falling away from the church? Why are we falling away? We should understand that this is where you can get strength. This is where you can get a revelation from God. This is where you want to know what somebody is doing out there in the world. Trust me, God will reveal it to you. If somebody is trying to do something behind your back, God will reveal it. You got to come and press your way into the household of faith. Get with some believers, somebody that's been through something. Y'all ever notice that when somebody new starts on the job, they always pair you up with somebody who's been there? You want to know why? Because that person has been where you're trying to get. You know, I remember when I was playing ball and my coach, and, you know, I wasn't at shortstop. I was in the outfield, and the shortstops were messing up. I was in center field, and then finally my coach got mad. He said, Carradine, get over here. I was like, man, what did I do this time? I was paying attention. So he told me, he said, get at shortstop. And he didn't say anything. He just said, he told the other guys who was moving into that position, he said, watch this. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not boasting on myself. I'm trying to teach you all what the coach was saying. If you want to know how the position is supposed to be played, watch the person who knows how to play the position. I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm teaching you right now to let you know that you have to understand. If you don't understand something, then get somebody who does. Falling away from the church. Have you ever experienced a miracle? Let me say this. For some of you have to think about that, you don't really have to think about it. It is not a trick question. I'm not asking you for something flamboyant and all. See, that's where our mind goes. Miracle. Let me see. No. Let me say this. If you are saved, two miracles happen in your life. It is a miracle that you are saved. Is that hard? I mean, as soon as somebody asks a question, they like, in church, you know, they do like this. They're like, let somebody else answer. And then if it sounds good, yeah, I'm going to go with that. No, see, this is where we got to know for ourselves. If you are saved, that's a miracle. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and you are dead, and you were dead in the trespass and sin. This is the spiritual condition of the guilty sinner without Christ. Good intentions, human efforts, and good works cannot fix that. Dead people do not need reform. They need resurrection that only a miracle of grace can perform. That's what saved us. It is a miracle that you are saved, but it's also a miracle that you are still saved. Amen. That made you do that, didn't it? I know. It'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. It'll make you go, yes, because I know some people on your job make you want to, whoo. Man, it's a miracle that you're still saved. God kept you. God kept us. Y'all know how you used to be. God said, oh, no, no, no. You saved now. I got this. Vengeance is mine. Let me do this now. So here we are. Miracles. You saved and got your business taken care of. So it's a miracle that you are saved, but it's also a miracle that you're still saved. You would have given up on Christ, your family, and your ministry if God didn't keep you from falling. Amen? Not only is he able to keep you from falling, but he's able to, I like this one, present you. Now y'all see why I like this? This make you want to go back for seconds and thirds. And he's able to present you. Y'all think about that for a moment. Present you blameless in heaven. Jude says to present you faultless. In other words, to make us presentable. Go try to see the president. Watch, they're going to say, you better straighten yourself up. Clean yourself up. There are certain things you can't say and do. That's because they're trying to make you presentable. So the word faultless means without blemish, free from faultless, without spot. To present means to bring or to introduce formally, to offer or show, to bring to an attention of. You cannot present yourself before the presence of his glory. I don't care how tough you are. You can't present yourself. Psalms 1 and 5 says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God will make you stand before him blameless and joyful. You can't just go into the courts of God. You heard Minister O'Bannon preach about that. The angels got to bring you into the presence of God. You can't just walk up in there. That ain't going to happen. I don't care how tough you are. You got to be presented. And guess who's going to present me? Jesus. I present to you, Pastor Ronnie. This is where people say in the church, they want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Here he is. Jesus wants to present you to his daddy. God is able to keep you from falling down here. The word present little means to make you stand. We'll be able to stand. The God who is able to keep you from falling is able to make you stand. So where would Jesus present you? Where would he present you? Before the presence of his glory. Y'all, stop reading stuff. Just reading it. Just study that. Stay there for a little while. Marinate on it. Let it get inside you. Think about what Jude is saying here. All that foolishness that we're going through now and that we're dealing with, folks don't want to listen to God's word. Let me tell you something. Jude is saying Jesus is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. God will make you stand before him blameless. In the Old Testament, the worship could not bring an animal sacrifice, listen to what I'm saying, to God that had any spots or blemish. It had to be blameless, perfect. This is why God accepted the atoning sacrifice of Jesus made for our sins at the cross. Even though he was human, even though people tried to get him to sin, there was no sin in him because there was a reason why he stayed the course, because he was thinking about you and I. We need to understand, for those of you who think you're perfect, think you all that, you are not blameless. You and I can be rightly blamed for many sins. And we cannot clean, but we messed up. But God is able to present us. Let me tell you something. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had this little minister's dinner, and we had to tell some things that nobody knew about us. I didn't really want to play, but I did. And I told some things that I did. But I make sure my parents know that they can't whoop me now because I ask God to forgive me. That's all that matters. And if they are good Christian people, they ought to understand that they ought to have a forgiving heart like the Lord does. Amen? That's all I'm saying. If they don't have a good forgiving heart, then something ain't right. They go to the altar because what I did in the past is in the past. I know it wasn't good, I know it wasn't pretty, but all I can tell you is that I asked God to forgive me for my sins. Now, if they try to get me on that, then that's up there between them and God. God will make us stand before him joyfully. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve enjoyed the manifest presence of God. After the fall, however, they hid from one another with fig leaves and try to hide from God as well. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We continue to try to hide from God as sin produces guilt, shame, and fear. But God is able to present you before the presence of his glory with great joy. Great joy is more than personal happiness. It is a public celebration with singing, dancing, and shouting. This is what heaven is going to be like. Y'all understand? Y'all ever see somebody who's got joy on the inside? I ain't talking about happiness. I ain't talking about that. You know, you say happy birthday, you know, and all of that stuff. You're great because you get to see another birthday. But joy is different than happiness. Because when they done singing happy birthday, when they done honoring you, that's their happiness. But do you still have joy? Amen? See, here's the thing. Sometimes our lives are stained by things that we do. And it's stained by some, it's really got some ugly stains on it. And some of us are carrying the stain of anger. Some of us are wearing the stains of fear and carrying the stains of grief. And some of us are carrying the stains of guilt or wearing the stain of loneliness. Some of us have the stain of rejection. And some of us have the stain of revenge. So no matter how hard you have tried to remove the stain, you can't. Christ wants to take away the stains from your life. That's why Jude is saying, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Let's break this down for a moment. Now, that's the present. Unto him, that's the person. That is able, that's his power. To keep you, that's his protection. From falling, that's to make you perfect. And to present you faultless, that's to make you pure. Before the presence of his glory, that's his prestige. With exceeding joy, that's our pleasure. Unto him. Jude is talking about, who is him? He's talking about Jesus. The one that exists before a when or where. Him, the one that's co-created the universe. Just in case some of y'all don't know, he said, let us. Just in case you didn't read that real clearly, he was there. Because he said, let us. Who is he talking to? He wasn't just talking to himself. He was talking to someone else, and that was Jesus. Him. The one that took a ball of helium and hydrogen and placed it in the sky. Him, the one that sat on a great throne in glory. Him, the one that came down through 42 generations. Him, the one that Mary's little baby. Him, the one that taught like a scholar at the age of 12. Him, the one that was baptized by his cousin at the age of 30. Him, the one that walked this earth for 33 years. Him, the one that gave his life for us. Him. Y'all better know who you're talking about this morning. We are talking about Jesus. And notice, if a preacher won't say Jesus' name, something is wrong. That is able. The text goes on to say, that is able. Understand back in the day when Jesus was walking the earth, he was able to perform miracles. If you don't believe me, look at your Bible and you'll see what he did back then. He turned a pitcher of water into some priceless wine. That's what folks who want to, you know, who want to say that it's okay to drink. They want to say, well, Jesus turned water into wine. That's the only scripture they know. That's all they tell me. Jesus turned water. Oh, I ain't trying to hear that. What else can you tell me? They try to justify their drinking habits. He fed, back then, he fed over 5,000 with two little fishes and some bread. He healed men of a deadly disease called leprosy back then. He healed them. He defied the powers of nature and stopped a wind, a storm. This is the him. This is the that is. He opened the blind's eyes. He fixed the twisted tongues. Folks that couldn't even speak right, he fixed their speech. He unstopped deaf ears. Come on now, this is the him. Unto him that we're talking about. The that is that we're talking about. The him that we're talking about. He did all that back then, but I came to tell you that he's the same today that he was yesterday. So whatever you need this morning, I'm here to tell you that he is able. He's able to perform some mighty miracles in your life. He's able to take insufficient amount and turn it into a number of an amount. He's able to heal all kind of diseases. He's able to tell the storm of life to peace, be still, not right now. He's able to speak. He's able to save from the uttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save. He's able to close ears, and he's able to open up eyes. He's able to close hearts. He's able. He's able to do everything but fail. So whatever you need from him this morning, I advise you to turn it over to Jesus, because he's able to do all that he said he would do. The word able means to be capable, strong and powerful. He's able to protect us. He's able to preserve us. He's able to make us pure. He's able to make us perfect. He's able to do all of these things. You ought to know who you're serving. He's able to do much more than you can ever imagine. He will do more than what you ask for. Ask for the biggest thing you ever could believe for. He is able to do more than that. Salvation, when you ask him to forgive your sins, he does so much more than that. He's going to give you eternal life. You need to know he's able to keep you from falling. Listen to this as I close. Y'all notice something here that you probably just don't even think about? In the last part, it says, amen. When God signs off on it, don't you love it when your boss signs off on your PTO time? Hey, you get a shout coming. Because you know you're going to have some days off. God signed off on it. He said, amen. Our amens is important to God, too. The most common meaning to amen is to so be it. Y'all better know the word of God. Amen, be so be it. You're basically saying, I'm in agreement with your Lord. That is defined, let it be so, Lord. I accept what you said, Lord. If you can't change the reservation, then so be it. Amen. Y'all better understand what amen means. It means you are co-signing it with the Lord. You're saying that, amen, I agree with you. I believe in you. Amen. That's why they said, let the church say amen. All you're saying is that, Lord, I accept your commandments. I accept everything you're saying to me. I'm accepting it, Lord. I'm accepting my healing. Amen, Lord. Amen is meant to establish God's kingdom here on earth. You got to say amen to co-sign it. You got to say amen to believe in it. You got to say amen because it's finished. Y'all ever notice this too? The last word in the Bible, I believe, is amen. It's the last word. God is saying it is finished. Amen. Woo!
doors of the church is now open. Yes, he is. He's able. We extend an invitation to Christ right now. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. He is able. Amen. 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 God bless each and every one of you. Just know that he is able to keep you from falling. Amen. He's able. You ought to try him. You ought to try him. Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand. Amen. Before we dismiss, I want to remind everyone that we are fellowshipping in the back, and we are celebrating our dear sister Stephanie Wilburn. She has gotten orders to relocate to Hawaii. Amen. So we are basically just having a fellowship dinner with her and just really just and just enjoying her company. Amen. She is certainly a blessing. And I just want everyone to just spend a little time in fellowship. Amen. But before we go back, I want to ask the blessing, and then we'll dismiss from there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father God, we thank you right now. We ask right now, Lord, that you bless the food that thou hast richly stored upon us. We ask that it nourish our bodies and fill us up. And Father God, we thank you right now, Lord, for your word that has gone forth. Father God, we know that you are able to keep us from falling. And Father God, we know that you are with us even to the end of time. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we want to just thank you right now for being our Lord and Savior. For each and every one that is here, Lord, I lift them up to you, Father God. Whatever it is that they're going through, whatever it is that they're dealing with, I pray, Lord, that you will touch them right now at their need. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We give you all the glory, the honor to the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.